I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
Well, a ceasefire in Gaza between Israel and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad is holding. The ceasefire was agreed to last night following 3 days of fighting where dozens of people were killed, hundreds injured. But there are so many important pieces of news coming out of all of this. Who took part in the fighting? Who did not? Who brokered the peace? What does it mean for the political situation in Israel, in the region, and beyond? And really pleased to have joining us again from Israel, Amos Giora, author and professor of law at the S.J. Quinney College of Law at the University of Utah. Professor, thanks so much for joining us. And just give us a little context in terms of where we've been over the weekend since we last spoke and how things are shaping out late at night today.
So good afternoon to you here. It's 10:30 in the evening. The ceasefire went into effect 22 and a half hours ago or something like that. And with the exception of a little bit of firing from Israel to Gaza, Gaza to Israel shortly after the ceasefire went into effect, it's been quiet. And I'm not surprised at all. You noted the broker, who brokered it. I think it's important to discuss. But, as someone who lives here, the first piece of very good news is that the ceasefire is holding, which tells me that the parties understand that this round came to an end. But unlike previous rounds, I never know if I'm a realist or an optimist or an optimist or a realist, but this is the first time I have a sense that this round can be used to perhaps begin the process of cracking the seemingly irresolvable issue of Gaza. The path forward is beyond complicated, but I think there are sufficient number of small sparks that can be used to do something that's never really been done, and that's to resolve the Gaza issue. Beyond complicated, but this is the first time in years. I've been around, Boyd, more than one block. I've been around the block many times. That I have a sense that something changed in the last few days.
That is so significant. And so I want to dig into if this is the end of the beginning, so to speak, and if there are some of those sparks and the pieces of the beginning of the cracking of that code that is Gaza. Help us understand that. What are some of those things that do make this feel just a little different from one more brokered peace or one more round, as you put it, that seems to have come to a close? What is this feeling? What is the sense? And what are those pieces that give you hope that there is a path?
So there's a very important article today in Israel's most important newspaper, Haaretz, which is our New York Times. And there's an article by a journalist who is taken seriously, who consistently over the years is called the voice of the Palestinians or brings the Palestinian voice to the Israeli newspaper reading public. And her article today suggests that the typical person in Gaza is simply tired of round after round, and that perhaps what was going to motivate them, which is a wonderful thing moving forward, is jobs, money, and putting food on the table. And in that context, in the last months, Israel has granted between 15,000 to 20,000 work permits for Gazans to come to Israel to work. Those people don't want terrorism. Those people are sick and tired of terrorism, which is why earlier tonight, Prime Minister Lapid reached out to the Gazan population and said the path forward is economics, whether it's the Abraham Accords or some other mechanism where people want to work. And terrorism is, for the perspective of a public that wants to work, terrorism is just a terrible, terrible thing. And it is, I think, really important to note that that Hamas took no part in this latest round. They sat on the sidelines. At the end of the day, they were involved in brokering the peace, the ceasefire, along with Egypt. But Hamas left this to the Islamic Jihad. And what's also important to note is that the so-called Arab street, the Arab world, was, I don't know if I would use the word indifferent, but didn't take to the streets. The condemnations of Israel were literally non-existent. There was the obligatory from Iran, you know, we will destroy Israel. And there's the obligatory from Turkey, something about Israel. But other than that, there really wasn't anything. There's obviously also tension between Hamas, which is the ruling entity in Gaza, Islamic Jihad, which is, I mean, they have their own tensions. Obviously, there's enormous tensions, understatements between Hamas in Gaza and the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. That's an issue that needs to be resolved. But Gaza as an entity has been the focal point of so much negativity for all the known and obvious reasons. You know, for years, I think you know that from 94 to 97, I served as the Israel Defense Forces legal advisor in Gaza. So I told you I've been around the block. but it's complicated. And, you know, again, you know this better than I do. The American administration strikes me at the moment, as in terms of the Middle East, utterly disengaged, whether it's because of China, because Ukraine, Russia, or upcoming elections. And what I think happened here this round, the world let this to the left, you know, to us locals. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way, by the way, that anything can be resolved is at the end of the day, we're going to have to sit with Hamas to resolve this. But the fact that Hamas took no part, I don't think I saw anything from Hamas condemning Israel. That's different.
Yeah.
Does that mean that peace is around the corner? No. But go back to my word about small sparks.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Fantastic. Great insight, as always. We appreciate you staying up late and giving this
my pleasure.
Just really crucial perspective and perhaps a spark or two of hope for a path, a long and complicated one, to be sure. Amos Giora, author and professor of law at the S.J. Quinney College of Law at the University of Utah. Professor, thank you again for your great perspective today.
You betcha. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Again, that's Professor Amos Giora. And so that is something you're not hearing a lot of today. And I think the professor nailed it when he said no one's really saying a whole lot. Nothing's coming out of the White House, the administration. Nothing's really coming out of NATO. Nothing's really coming out of Europe. And again, whether that's because everyone's distracted by Russia and China, or if they're just saying, wait, maybe this is just a little bit different. I thought it was so interesting that the professor pointed out that these work permits that the prime minister of Israel, speaking to the people of Gaza, saying, look, if this is about economics, if this is about moving forward, if this is about jobs and putting food on your table, and being able to provide for yourself and having a path forward for your life, that the jihadists and the back and forth can't persist. It just doesn't work when it comes to economics. And so a very interesting thing. Also, I thought it was interesting that the professor pointed out that so many in Gaza are just tired and weary, and they are worried first and foremost about jobs and money and food on the table. And so that changes the calculation. And then also the fact that he pointed out who did not engage in this round, that Hamas was on the sideline, that Hamas did not engage or condemn or promote anything, I think is also really significant. And so, again, we always appreciate Professor Giora chiming in from just outside of Jerusalem. And I'm sure that sense of peace when the hostilities stop, has to be an exhale moment, but for how long? And is this really, as the professor said, are there enough sparks there to fan a flame of freedom and one that can bring peace to a region that has been troubled for a very long time? We'll step aside for bottom of the hour news. When we come back, we talked a little bit about the IRS component of the Inflation Reduction Act. We're going to dig into that a little deeper, what it means for you, coming up next.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. they pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.